Welcome into the expansive world of cis society, a space where taboos dissolve, shadows become allies, and sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality are celebrated as gateways to truth. This is Taboo Talks, a podcast where no topic is off limits, and everything is held with courage, compassion, and curiosity. Together, let's shatter the limits of what we've been taught to fear and transform it into the power to live fully, freely, and authentically. Welcome back to Taboo Talks. It is an honor and a privilege to have you back here with us. Today we're exploring a very tender topic, and we're curious what happens after trust is broken. How do we learn to listen to our bodies again and trust our body's infinite truth? In this episode, we are joined by Dr. Ricky Mullen, a board-certified internal medicine physician turned intimacy and relationship coach, whose journey has led her to the heart of healing. Certified in sex therapy and psychedelic-assisted therapy, Dr. Ricky brings a grounded, compassionate lens to the often messy process of repair and reconnection. And together, we will explore what it takes to rebuild after betrayal, how to reawaken the body's wisdom, and what it means to empower a full-bodied yes or a sacred no. From customized retreats in Topanga to deep one-on-one work, Dr. Ricky offers a path back to truth, intimacy, and thriving love. Welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so honored to be here, and it's so good to see you.
Oh, it's nice to be seen. Well, I mean, I want to say that every single human being is moved through heartbreak. And I imagine since you're on this path that you have experienced that as well, too. And my first question to you is, how did you learn to trust again in body, mind, and spirit? What brought you to this path that you're on?
Absolutely. It's very interesting. So in my life, I feel that actually I spent most of my life until I came to this path in rejection of who I was. And so that looked like listening to what society and family told me was right and what I should want. And I was such a people pleaser, rules follower, that I kind of listened to all the voices outside of me instead of listening to myself. And inevitably, I truly believe that if anyone is listening to voices outside of themselves and not their own inner voice, they're going to call in betrayal and breaks in trust because there's a lack of trust with self. And so betrayal and finding trust in self, right? They go hand in hand, and it can happen on so many different levels. And so it's very interesting because, you know, I'm really kind of thinking about this right now with the question you just asked. I really recognize that in my life, I was used to kind of being put down and even neglected. And so from childhood. And so I called in not only friends, but also lovers that repeated those patterns in my life because it felt familiar. And that's like a very micro level of betrayal. Like it's almost not so in your face. And later on in life, I really kind of called in really big betrayal, which was what I believe was through my own leaky boundaries. You know, you talk about your yes and your sacred no. And I had such leaky boundaries that I really believe that I almost called in a betrayal through that. So when you're really clear on your boundaries and you're clear on your yes and your no, and you have a deep level of self-trust, betrayal doesn't enter. And so I bring it back to myself a lot because when you bring it back to yourself, you're no longer giving away your power and you can understand your choices. And when you do that, you can actually understand in what ways did I call in betrayal? And then in what ways can I actually heal that so that I no longer enable or call in betrayal?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I mean, my heart hurts right now as we're talking about this, because I feel like there's a level of responsibility that we begin to take after having our heart broken so many times. And I hear you speak about betrayal, and I just wonder, Like, can we protect ourselves from heartbreak and ultimate betrayal just with abundant self-love and self-awareness? Or is the better way to frame it to say, hey, like, when this happens, I'll be okay? Or, like, do you believe that with these boundaries, we can ultimately create a reality that's, like, impenetrable to these, like, denser situations, these heartbreaks, these pain points, really?
Absolutely. I mean, ultimately, when you have a deep, like you said, self-love, but not just self-love, it's truly self-trust. Can I trust myself to make choices? And can I accept myself for the choices that I've made, even if it doesn't go as planned? Right. So even if I end up being betrayed or my heart ends up broken, can I still trust that I made the choice that was right for me in that moment? So that is an acceptance of self. And when you have that acceptance of self, there's actually a deep safety within. And so within that deep safety, because you have trust, because you listen to yourself, because you're grounded in self, you can handle betrayal. It doesn't mean that you won't be sad. Of course, you'll be sad. You'll be heartbroken. You'll feel the pain and you'll be able to move through it with a sense of safety within self. So your whole world isn't blowing up. But when you start to really put your value in those around you, or even your trust, and I mean, trust of self, like, I don't trust myself to make the decision, so I'm going to trust these people outside of me to make decisions for me. That's where you start to create a shaky foundation for yourself, right? And in that shaky foundation, so I'm only loved if people outside of me love me. I'm only valued if people outside of me value me. I only know what to do if people outside of me tell me what to do. When the people outside of you betray you, it's going to feel like your world is crumbling down and ending, because you've literally said, there's nothing within me that feels safe or whole or worthy or loved. And so you've given away all your power. You've said it's all of you outside of me that create that for me. And the truth is, everyone's human. People are going to do things that inflict pain on others, oftentimes unconsciously. And if you put all that power outside of you, you allow yourself then to be, and I hate using this word, but to be victim to other people's decisions and choices, versus I'm coming from a place of wholeness, fullness, worthiness, love, and I choose these people in my life. I choose this lover. I choose this partner. I choose these friends. And now they have a human moment where I feel betrayed, or there was a break in trust, or where I wasn't met, but I'm good because I made that choice. And what was it in this that happened, and can there be repair? Can we look at the human moments that we've all just had here?
So compassionate and beautiful. Elfie, you have a question. I feel it.
Well, I want to go into a little bit more, how do we actually heal after betrayal? We've talked about kind of how we can prevent it and how these patterns can play out over and over again. But I want to talk about, how do we actually heal after a betrayal? What does that process look like? And then let's just say that you were betrayed from a primary caregiver, like in early childhood or even in infancy, and you didn't have the boundaries, you didn't have the self-awareness, you didn't have even maybe the verbiage to say yes or to say no. So if, you know, you are being betrayed at this young of an age, which unfortunately many of us have been betrayed at this young of an age, then how does one really heal that and become aware of that?
Hey, Hot Stuff. We're going to take a quick pause from the show just because I'm so excited to tell you guys about one of the most transformative online tools that I've used that has really unlocked my pleasure journey to the next level, and that is the OMGS course. So until this last year, I actually struggled to orgasm on my own without the help of a toy. I felt dependent, I felt hopeless, and I honestly felt like there was something wrong with me. But within just 2 weeks of starting this course, I had my first orgasm from my own touch, and I was like, hallelujah, I'm not broken. And it's just opened up so much since then. I can honestly say it's just gotten better and wetter from there. So OMGS course is a fun, user-friendly course packed with all sorts of different videos and techniques and showcases a myriad of different women. And it will completely shift the way that you experience pleasure. So whether you're struggling with orgasms or maybe you just want to amplify your pleasure, both solo and with a partner, this course is truly a game changer. You can use the link in our show notes below to unlock your orgiastic potential and also to support the expansion of the cis society movement. Now back to your show.
Beautiful. Yeah, I want to start with this, talking about the children and primary caregiver and being betrayed by a primary caregiver. And then I'll go into how to heal as an adult if you are betrayed, just because it feels like a more organic flow to me. So children are so innocent and beautiful, and I really believe that they're our greatest teachers. I'm a mother, and I feel very blessed to be a mother and to learn through my children and to also even see repeated patterns from my childhood that I wasn't necessarily aware of as a child that opens my eyes to how to honor and meet my children even more deeply. So the interesting thing about children is they come into this world with these really fresh eyes, and they don't actually, they can know at the core of them if something feels right or wrong. And then as they get exposed to more of the world, they can start forming their own lens. But ultimately, children come into this world and they really view their primary caregivers as everything. And they believe them. They believe what they're told. They believe what's done to them, even if they know at a deep level that it's wrong. And it starts to form the foundation of their own self-trust, of their own self-confidence, of their own courage, of their own, of their self, right? Like in the language of IFS, the true self, the one that is courageous, connected, confident, that is open, that is loving, right? And so it's very interesting because when they're betrayed by a caregiver who also maybe provides them with like food and clothing and a home and love and gets them to school, but is also at the same time providing abuse, it can really be very twisted for a child. And until the child is an adult, they may not fully grasp and understand what the significance and what role that plays in their life. And it could be anywhere from little t trauma, like really microaggressive things that parents are doing, constantly questioning them, constantly telling them their feelings don't matter, constantly maybe providing them with their basic needs, but really neglecting them. That would all be kind of this little t trauma, or it could be big t trauma, unwanted touch, molestation, right? Like things that are really, really very traumatic. And ultimately, as a child grows up into adulthood, whether it's little t trauma or big t trauma, they'll notice these patterns playing out in their relationships if they haven't brought it into their conscious awareness. And those could be romantic relationships, but also friendships. And even the way in which they show up in the world, their own self-confidence, the way they're able to hold jobs, the way they're able to communicate with people. And so it's their choice as an adult to now bring this into conscious awareness and to really face the shadow of it, to really face how is it showing up in their life and really calling on good support to move through it, both one-on-one, you know, with a coach, with a trauma-informed and trauma-trained therapist is really important. Maybe doing EMDR or ketamine therapy to really work through that. But also there's so much value in community, right? So I really see that in 2020, we went into this super digitalized world where we all became super disconnected. And there's people that still have not come out of that bubble. And the truth is that when somebody experiences trauma, they believe that they are alone in that because that experience happened to them as an individual. But whatever they're experiencing is actually a collective experience. So there's somebody else out there who has experienced that same feeling, right? Not the same exact experience, but has had the same experience of, I don't trust myself because my own parents abused me, right? Because my own parents told me I was wrong, because my own parents told me I was bad, or I can't have relationships because I don't believe that the people closest to me love me. because of what I experienced as a child. And as they start to come into community, whether it be at a retreat space or on these communities that are being created, even in coaching communities, they really start to connect with others and witness others who are having the same exact experience as them. Not experience like we had the same experience, but we're having the same feeling experience. And in that, there's less loneliness. And so that the trauma actually starts to become smaller and people start to connect and grow from that. So there's a lot of value in all of that. Once the child who's now an adult starts to bring all of these patterns and even abuse and experiences into conscious awareness and to face them with compassion for themselves and grace for themselves, they can start to repattern themselves within relationships and really start to also notice what feels familiar versus what feels safe. So if somebody experienced a lot of neglect as a child, neglect will feel familiar, and they may really seek out people who neglect them to recreate that from childhood. But if they bring into awareness, oh, neglect felt really familiar to me, but neglect isn't comfortable, they now get to start making choices where they choose people who are no longer neglecting them. And so again, it's all about bringing it into conscious awareness. And the final thing that I'll say on this is about forgiveness. So you don't actually have to forgive your parents for what was done, right? Because that's a really tricky one. I mean, if you had a parent that inappropriately touched you or hit you, it is, and you were a child, and regardless if you're a child or an adult, but like if you're a child, you're an innocent little child, it's going to be really hard to go back and forgive your parents. But to forgive yourself for any judgments that you're holding around yourself being bad or wrong or broken because of that, to offer yourself that forgiveness. And if you can find the compassion for your parents, for whatever pain they were holding, whatever they were moving through, that they were in so much pain that they could hurt a small child like that, right? It's so unconscious when an adult hurts a young child like that. It's just allowing the shadow to run free. So to find compassion, like they were doing the best they knew how, or they were just in such deep pain. You know, it doesn't mean it was okay. It wasn't okay. And you can hold that younger you and honor and do the inner child work around that. Do your forgiveness work for self, but just finding compassion to release yourself from holding them responsible still. Because when you stay in the energy of needing to find somebody who is responsible for what happened to you, you keep yourself in the victim mode, and you also are constantly putting your energy towards fighting them. And it's draining. It's just a full drain. So it allows you to break free from that.
That's really touching and very moving. Thank you for sharing that. You brought up so many beautiful points, compassionate points. And the biggest thing that's hitting right now is being able to release these individuals from like the cage of our psyche, right? Where like if we don't move through that forgiveness process with ourselves, then we're still holding them in this kind of energetic cord that's just keeping the loop, the pattern of suffering going, even in our thoughts.
Yeah.
So the work is deep. It's deep to rewire these things. But just like having this conversation is, it's moving things in me even. I'm like, oh, wow, I have more work to do. It's like I'm peeling back the layers. And I would also just love to hear, Elfina, you asked as well, like how we, like, I guess I want to know about the nitty gritty, right? Like, mm-hmm. We've taken a really like beautiful zoomed out perspective of how we can kind of come back to compassion, self-forgiveness in these spaces and begin to repattern ourselves to really stand our ground and come back to our hearts. But like, let's say I'm an individual that comes to you and I'm just like in the throes of like betrayal and heartbreak and let's call it victimhood, right? Where I'm just like, this person did this to me and like they they just like, you know, you're just, you're like the pain really zooms in, as I say, and the love zooms out. But like when you're in that pain space, I would love to hear more about how you personally guide people back and kind of snap them out of it when you're really like just, because the pain is all consuming sometimes, you know, like I've done so much work on it to now where I have distance between myself and it, and I can see it and talk about it and not have my nervous system activated. But yeah, I would love to hear your take on this. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to add one last piece about the childhood stuff, which is that that little girl or little boy needed a parent who loved them, saw them, held them. And so really doing the inner child work, by the way, is like super vital. Also with healing current betrayal, but it's going back and it's like holding that little you. And just seeing what that little you needs. And I think the best way to do it, by the way, is feeling it as a pain in your body. Like, where do I hold this? Because when you connect to the memory, you'll feel it in your body. So you don't have to re-traumatize yourself by going into the story and then feeling that pain in your body and just going in and being like, what age did I first feel that at? You know, what was happening and what does that little child need? And you see how close you can get to that child and offer that child whatever they need. Do they need to play at the park? Do they need a safe bed? Do they need someone to give them a bath and who's touching them safely, right? Where you can be the parent and giving them a bath and they're totally safe in the bath, right? Free from any harm. So it's all these things where you get to kind of recreate and reparent that are so beautiful. And then in current betrayal is a heavy one. And, you know, the victim, I find a lot of people, it's almost like they enjoy being the victim and they enjoy being in the suffering. And I want to say that that links right back. In so many instances, it links right back to childhood. So we talked a little bit about, like I mentioned earlier, if you experience neglect as a child, you're going to seek out neglect again, right? And if you were suffering as a child, you are going to unconsciously seek it out again. People get really, they think they're comfortable. It's just familiar in the suffering, right? Suffering is not comfortable, but for some reason people choose it. I really believe it is a choice and people choose to be the victim. And that is maybe like a bit controversial, but when you start to reframe it that way, it allows you to step from being the victim or the one who had a perpetrator, because we are adults here, right? We are adults. And unless somebody's holding a gun to your head or physically punching you, I'm going to say that you can find your way out. You can make a choice out of this, right? And it's hard. It doesn't mean that it's easy, but then you have the choice to leave. Emotional abuse, you can leave. Physical abuse is a lot harder. So I'm going to say that's a completely different situation, because with physical abuse, there is a threat. There's a high threat of death if you leave. So that is a much different situation. But any other situation outside of that, partner cheats on you, partner is continually lying to you, you are making a choice to stay in that. I don't care if you don't have any money. I don't care if you have 5 children together. I don't care. You are making a choice to stay in that. And you're actually making a choice to allow, if you're like, but I've got young children, you're making a choice to allow your children to witness that and think that that is okay. So when you start to understand that you are making a choice and you are no longer a victim, you get to start choosing how you want to be. And you can heal after betrayal. So you can heal alone, or you can actually heal even in partnership. So there's 2 types of healings that can happen here. So I don't know which one you prefer that I touch on first in the process of that, but do you have a preference?
Partnership. Let's talk about partnership.
So I'll share a little bit of a personal story, and I haven't really shared this much, but my husband, who I love and adore, door and who is amazing. We were, so early on in relationship, there's something called fusion or symbiosis, which is you are like kind of on the dopamine high and everything's a we. It's, we do everything together. We love each other. Oh my gosh, we're this, we're that, we're, oh my God, we're the best, yada, 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 right? Everybody can relate to that. That is really important for relationship, for two humans to actually fall in love and have that bonding. It's called symbiosis or fusion. It's driven by dopamine. It's driven by the high of an early relationship. It is that feeling of being love drunk. Later on in relationship, what happens is something called differentiation, which is I am me and you are you, and we are two separate people, and we even have different thoughts, beliefs, and feelings on things, and we like to do different things, and we accept each other for that. Some people use the word tolerate. I like the word accept. I accept me for who I am. I accept you for who you are. It's really beautiful. So my husband and I, we've been married now 2 years, but when I met him, we dated for 3 weeks. We eloped and got married, and it was a complete dopaminergic vomit. Like, it was just like, we are on total dopamine high, totally drunk, addicted to that feeling, and we got married. And I'm really grateful that we did, because I know with certainty now that we're, especially, I've always known it, but especially now that we're 2 years out, that he is my life partner and my forever partner. Our relationship started out really erotic and juicy and yummy, and boundaries were a bit leaky. And although I had the understanding that it was just me and him, and if we chose to have erotic experiences with any individuals outside of the relationship, we would both be present. That would be discussed, right? That was kind of my understanding. And it was also his understanding. Only there was a leaky boundary. So this is where I always say you got to be mindful about what the boundaries are. There was a leaky boundary, meaning that I was really erotically turned on by us, and I would share with maybe my girlfriends a story or a video of us without his consent. So then I was away at Layla's retreat. Layla Martin, our teacher in Vida, who is amazing, love her. And I'm at this woman's empowerment retreat. We had just gotten married. We're a month into being married. And I find out that while I was at her retreat, he had shared videos and pictures of me with another woman via text message, and actually masturbated with her via text message. And then he deleted it all. And then I went to, I came back, went to a cacao ceremony. I drew a tarot card. It was insane. My hand was drawn like a magnet to it. And I pull it. It says, look a little closer. You may be being deceived. Mm-hmm. And I immediately threw the card down. I was so angry. I was like, no way, I'm not being deceived. Mm-hmm. Go home, look in his text messages, find these deleted messages. And I was like, holy shit. I don't know who I married. Like, I've only known this guy for 2 months, basically. And I have, you know, made this huge life choice. And I was so angry with myself for that. I was like, so angry with myself. And I didn't think I could trust him anymore. So I kicked him out of the house. I was like, I'm done. Like, this is so disrespectful. I feel like my body was used for pleasure without my consent, which to me feels like rape. It's not rape. I want to make it very clear, but it felt like that. To me, I have experienced rape before, and that's what it felt like in my body. And I was livid, and I didn't think I could ever trust him again. Kicked him out. I didn't speak to him for a week. And a week later, he called me, and he called me every day, but I like wouldn't answer his calls because it was all him begging for me back. And I was like, I don't want to go back. Like, I feel betrayed and hurt, and I want to love myself now. Was my initial reaction. So I share this story to guide through the healing process of how you repair, because we're clearly still together, and I trust this man more than anyone, and I love him deeply, and I also deeply trust myself. And it was a lot of work to get there, because initially, so I'm just going to kind of walk through this as the process. Initially, there was a deep lack of trust for self and a deep lack of trust for him. How could I trust myself to make decisions if I made a decision to bring this man into my life, into my children's life, and he could so easily betray me, was the thought process that I had. And how can I ever trust him? Because I thought I was like so cool and erotically alive and connected and like so open and authentic. And yet this thing could still happen behind my back, which I was like, why? So he calls me up. So those are the initial thoughts. It's a huge break in trust with self and with other. So the idea is, how do I get out of victim and into understanding? So it's having compassion and grace for self. I'm a woman who was really feeling the dopamine high of love. It felt deeply connected, had a deep knowing that this is my life partner, and I followed my intuition. So it's having that compassion for myself. There's nothing wrong with love, and love can never be bad, right? And that is the truth. Love is always beautiful. So the person who's been betrayed, to know that, like, your love is beautiful, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there's also nothing wrong with you. And second, why did I choose this man, and where was I coming from when I chose him? So why did you choose the person who betrayed you, and where were you coming from when you chose them? I actually recognized that I had a void within myself. I was so love hungry, and he came into my life, and he actually knew exactly. Like, it was like if I had written out how I want to be loved in life, a whole book about it. He had read every single page of that book, studied it, highlighted it, written it out himself. Like, he just knew it forwards and backwards and all the lines in between. And that love came from a void of a desire to be deeply loved in a way that I felt I was never really seen or understood. Again, stemming back way, way deep to childhood. So starting to bring that stuff into conscious awareness is really helpful as you're doing this healing work. So why did I choose this love? And bringing that into awareness. And then, can you have compassion for that? And can you offer yourself also that love? If you're healing within relationship, you invite the person forward to share what it was within them that they had that desire to betray. He came forward to me, without me actually going to him and asking him to bring it forward, but he came forward to me, and he brought up some of his childhood abuse that led to him feeling that he always had to have kind of these secrets or even outside validation. And once he understood that, he started to enter a level of integration that was so grounded, so beautiful, and so trustworthy that my heart opened to even more compassion and love for him. Mm-hmm. Because he could own it, own why he did it, and also own what was the driving force behind it and what he knew, the work that he needed to do, not because I told him, so that he could heal that within him. And so then simultaneously, we were side by side doing our healing work, not for one another, not holding the other responsible, but going deep into our own healing. And so after betrayal, that's what it's truly about. What is it that's existing inside me, either as the one who betrayed or the one who was betrayed, that either chose to do this or accepted this, right? Or called this in. And when you can face that, so when you can bring that pain like to the surface, or that void or whatever that is to the surface, you can actually start addressing and doing the deeper work. And it allows for a level of healing that is so beautiful. It's truly, I mean, it's remarkable healing. And it allows you to come back into self-trust, because at the core of all of it is self-trust and self-safety. It's not about feeling safe in your, so it's not about your partner creating safety for you. That is the most important thing that I can say. It is not about your partner creating safety for you. So once you realize that, whether you're doing this healing work in partnership or on your own, when you find that self-trust and safety, and you do that by figuring out why. Again, what was it inside me that invited in betrayal? Because it is something energetic. Everything's happening on an energetic level. So it's something energetically within you, something that you're carrying, right? And so when you can do that, and again, not like, oh, I'm responsible and I'm going to hate myself and I'm, you know, and I'm irresponsible or I'm whatever, bad, whatever you may want to. It's not about beating yourself up. It's about really bringing in to light what is that pain within you or that void within you or that that leaky boundary within you, and how do you then do the deeper work to heal that, to build self-trust and safety within. So once you do that, you get to choose who you trust. You get to choose who you trust. Now, my partner chose to do really deep work, and I choose to trust him. Now, if he falters again, if he does something out of integrity again, I have to, one, know that I made the choice to stay with him, but two, I also know that I will be okay. Three, I know that I don't have space for another break in integrity. I love him deeply, and I have to love myself more, right? This first time, he's transformed to like a new human, to be honest. Like he's so deeply integrated. This void, this pain within him was so deep, and he was so willing to go there that I just knew. I was like, I trust him and I love him, and he's such a beautiful soul. He's like the most integrated human that I know now, and I love witnessing that. And if I see things that feel leaky, I call him out on it. Like I'm like, and it's not leaky in like the relationship sense. It's leaky in, maybe like the dogs get fed later than like we had spoken about, right? So really little small leaks like that, where it's like, oh, what happened today? With curiosity, always meeting with curiosity. So I think that's like the core and the essence of it. And if you have more questions, I'm happy to answer more deeply as well.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for sharing so vulnerably about your experience, like so everyone can really hear and take that in. I know that I've been in a relationship as well now with my partner for about 2 years. And it was like a real, like everything you were sharing was like such a similar synchronicity of like this super high dopamine high. Like, yeah, like you're like the one I've been waiting for, or whatever that story is that we can create. And then like me having leaky boundaries, unsure boundaries, and there being a breach of trust, like early on in the relationship that really, I almost ended the relationship, and I was like, how can I trust you? Like this and that. And it was so easy to just point the finger and like be the victim, right? Cause I've been betrayed in relationships in the past, like really bad betrayal. And I'm like, I'm not available for this again. Like, it's just like absolutely not available for that. And then as I started to do some more internal reflections, I realized like I created this situation because of my own lack of clarity, because of my own lack of boundaries and my own unworthiness of being scared to ask for what I actually wanted, and my own unknowing of what I actually wanted. Because of my, and now it's just, it keeps unraveling, like, oh, and actually my unworthiness and unclarity is actually from a trauma response of abandonment from childhood. So literally growing up my entire life in unsafe situations, especially with men, attracting partners that inherently I didn't always necessarily feel fully safe with. And so I just got used to that. That was what was familiar, is to be in unsafe environments with men and trying to convince myself that I was safe, and then being scared to actually ask for what I needed to be safe because I didn't even know what I needed. Or I was scared that if I asked for that, it would be too much and I would be abandoned again. So it's like all these traumas and cycles, they all just like create this perfect storm and this recipe in our relationships. And so I really realized, wow, like, okay, I didn't ask for what I needed, hence leaky, unclear, or lack of boundaries altogether, hence betrayal. And then from his point of view, like, he had his own shame and his own fear of also being abandoned. hence the secrecy and the betrayal. And so it just created this like perfect storm to trigger each other's deepest wounds. And this is the beauty of relationships. It's like when you can do that repair through deep introspection, deep self-awareness, deep ownership, deep shadow integration, and you can do that alongside the other person and like have this mirror that is like here, like reflecting this to you, and you can just move beyond the ego and the defensive, which is like a really hard part that most couples honestly don't get past. But if you can actually move through that with your partner, it creates the most beautiful, oh my God, like most beautiful landscape of healing. And I'm in Layla's school right now, the Vita program, which is just like, as you know it, you go digging for all of your love, relationship, and sexual traumas. And it's a catalyst. It's a major catalyst in relationship too. So yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, and it's easy to be like, oh, like you broke my trust once, but I think that ultimately I broke my trust. You know, I didn't trust myself. And so my partner's just a reflection. And over and over and over again, I see that in every situation I want to just point the blame at him, I always have something to play. I'm always the mirror. I'm always the reflection. And we can't heal our partners. We can't heal anyone else. We're only responsible for ourselves, right? Like you were saying. So, yeah, I feel like there's so much beautiful, deep healing that can come up in partnership that we can't always access alone. Like just having another person to be there, it's so beautiful and rich. So yeah, thank you for sharing. And I just fully agree with you. And if you have someone that can do that and is devotional to that as you are, like it's such a blessing and such a gift. It's not always easy, but it's such a blessing and it's such a gift to get to heal that deeply. And then I wanted to like just segue into the last little part of our podcast about how after that, after we've had a traumatic experience where we fawned, where we frozen, where we fought or fled or whatever, I think I said all of them, how do we come back to even knowing and recognizing what an empowered yes and an empowered no in the body feels like? So that we can create these boundaries from authenticity and we can speak our truth and we can move forward in this place of, yeah, just radical self-knowingness.
And just before you answer that, I actually had a similar question that I'd love to just tap into that. And yes, thank you, Elfina, for sharing. Thank you, Ricky, for your vulnerability. That was absolutely beautiful and incredibly moving too. Hear about your process with all of this. The empowered yes and the empowered no, I'm curious if there is trauma in the body, like how we can also tell the difference between a trauma response and a true no. If you have any insight into that as well, I'd love to hear.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Well, first, I just want to say thank you also to Elfina for sharing your beautiful story. And yeah, just as a message out there to everyone that you can invite your partners into this deeper, beautiful work and remembering that every individual is responsible in the relationship for doing that deep work. But you can invite people in because it is so easy at the first rupture to run. Because of past stories, because of past traumas, because of fears, because of past abandonment. But when you're able to stick it out and be like, oh, wow, this is, as Elfina so beautifully said, this is a mirror for everything that's going on within me. How cool is that? Now I get to look even deeper and heal even more deeply. And by the way, this beautiful soul in front of me, will you step forward and allow me to be your mirror and reflect back to you what is deep inside you, right? Like that relationship is so juicy and so yummy. And it's so self-empowering. So I just really, Elfina, thank you for sharing as well. It's so beautiful. And I love that. And it's possible for many beautiful souls out there. So if you're feeling like, oh, well, I've ran from past relationships, don't worry. Like the next one, you can choose to stay and be the mirror and have yourself reflected back to you. Because our relationships are the shiniest mirrors. And sometimes we don't like what we see when it's that shiny. And then as far as after like a fight, flight, freeze, fawn, right? How can we trust our empowered yes and empowered no? So after any big experience, and I've shifted from calling it, I've really tried to shift it from calling it trauma to an experience. And that's my own personal preference, because I find that when we call something trauma, it immediately throws us into victim mode, versus when we say it's an experience. And granted, yes, I'm not trying to like take away from the fact that it was trauma. But when we call something an experience, we allow ourselves actually to step out of being victim and start healing. And that's just a personal preference that I have. If it doesn't work for you, feel free to, you know.
Oh, I love it. I love, we're word witches here, and we're always just trying to find the more forwarding, neutral term that's not like dragging us down. So I adore that. And I receive that.
Thank you. Uh-huh. So when you have a big experience that dysregulates your nervous system, right, where you feel unsafe within, there's always going to be a process of cocooning after that. So one is honor the cocoon stage, like just honor it. Because if you try to push yourself out of it more quickly than you are ready, your sacred yes and sacred no, your full fuck yeah and your sacred no will not actually be heard, because you're pushing your system to move more fast than it's ready to. And when a nervous system is pushed too quickly, it actually becomes more dysregulated. So the first thing is just allow yourself to have that cocooning stage to come back into self-trust. And a big way to come back into that self-trust and self-safety is to have that compassion for yourself. So much compassion, so much grace. You can read like Kristen Neff's work. You can practice self-forgiveness, really forgiving yourself for judgments that you carry around yourself. I learned a beautiful practice from Alyssa Nobrega, another one of my teachers and guides. And she learned this from the University of Santa Monica Spiritual Psychology. But it's, I forgive myself for buying in to the misunderstanding that, or to the belief that, the truth is blank. So I forgive myself for buying into the misunderstanding that that I am broken because I was, you know, whatever, in this experience. The truth is I am worthy and I am whole and I am deserving of love, right? So whatever it is, and you, that practice in and of itself is so powerful. So offering yourself compassion. I have grace and compassion for the woman that went through that, or for the human that went through that experience, because I know that I was just, it's what I knew best at that time, right? Because I needed such deep love, because I felt, you know, at the time I felt so empty I felt so empty inside and neglected. And so that felt really yummy to me. Of course I chose that. And I buy myself for buying into the misunderstanding that I am empty inside, because I can always, the truth is I can always fill myself with love. So allowing yourself to have that cocoon process with compassion, with grace, with forgiveness is really important. And allowing yourself to meet the feelings that come up around it without indulging them. So, you know, really keeping yourself from looping into the stories around it. But just being with the feeling, like, oh, I can feel sadness in my body, or I can feel anger in my body. Just feeling it as a feeling in your body. And once you do that, slowly start inviting in your yes and your no. And when I say slowly, I mean really slowly. So I don't mean go to like a play party and be surrounded by all these people that want to like touch you and grab you and be with you and, you know, in consensual circumstances. And you're like, oh wow, I really have to like be with my yes and my no now in a really intense environment that's being flooded with arrows. No, no, do not do that. Like start off by going to get ice cream, right? And it could even be before that, like, oh, it's a hot day. Do I desire ice cream? And really feel into your body, right? Yes. You can imagine yourself like eating ice cream and see what does that feel like in your body? Does it feel open and expansive and light? Does it feel very heart-centered? Or when you're like, oh, I'm thinking of getting ice cream, do you feel your whole body like contract up and be like, no? So ice cream is something really safe and and simple. Maybe if you've had an eating disorder, using something like food doesn't feel safe. So maybe it's something like, oh, my body feels tired right now. Do I desire to take a nap or to do a little more studying, right? So you can start like slowly giving yourself options that are really kind of what most people would consider benign. Like it's not, your yes or your no is not going to have a huge impact on your life or on your nervous system. And as you do this, it's really slowing down and just feeling it in your body. So again, if it's open, if it's loose, if it's like you feel, you know, the sensation of love in your body or the sensation of openness or softness, that's a yes. But if there's a hint of contraction in your body, be with the contraction and be like, maybe that's a true no. Or maybe it's a trauma response. So, you know, Heather, you asked about the trauma response. How do you know if it's a trauma response? You go into the contraction and you say, why are you here? Why are you here? And you allow it to speak to you. And I read this incredible line in a book called Tantra Illuminated. And it said, I can't remember the exact words, so I'll put it in my words. It said, the truth or your intuition whispers and the ego will like scream, right? Or the trauma will scream. So if you hear this big defensiveness, like, oh, I'm here because I have to keep you safe and da 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 da, you can just be with it and like almost have a conversation with it. Well, what are you keeping me safe from? Well, I'm keeping you safe because in the past, when you've gone to these events, like you've invited in unwanted touch. Okay, well, maybe we're going back to the play party. You've invited in unwanted touch, so you can't go. Okay, now I can't go to the play party because I don't trust myself to be there, because I don't trust that I won't be touched in a way that I actually don't desire to be touched. Well, is that true? Let me meet it with a little bit more curiosity and a little more questioning, because ultimately, if you drop into like a really deep level of trust, you can trust yourself then to go to the play party and say no to touch. Especially if you're choosing you can trust yourself first to choose an ethical play party where consent is like fully understood, where your people are watching videos on consent before they go, where not only are they watching videos on it, but then it is shown and displayed and discussed when everybody shows up, right? So now you're like, okay, I can trust myself to choose. Two, I can trust myself to say no. And by the way, even a maybe means no. So I know that I can trust my right? So that's where you can start actually being with what is trauma and what's real, because the trauma is going to be essentially, I don't trust myself, and it will be a big protector. And you can meet with it and say, well, actually, can I drop deeper into trust? So then I can be in an experience and be in my yes and my no. And by the way, if your body's going to go right back into trauma, if you're putting yourself in a situation or in a place where you're a no, then that no actually is protecting you from re-traumatizing yourself. And so just trust it. But if you find yourself constantly closed and never opening, and it's so much energy to be in your no because you're constantly feeling afraid of the trauma, work one-on-one with a somatic coach or a therapist who is specialized in this area. Again, EMDR, ketamine therapy, really powerful for that kind of stuff, so that you can come into safety in yourself and really hear the no is a light contraction or a whisper, and your yes as like a full opening of softness. And, oh, this just feels yummy right now.
Delicious. Thank you for the clarification.
But then what does the intuition sound like? You went into the trauma being like this big, bold. And I had this experience yesterday where I was doing a body scan for Vita in one of our practices. And I felt it, this fear in my toes, and it was protecting. It was a protector of my inner child. And it was very much like, I have to keep her safe. She can't be hurt. Like, it was that. It was from trauma. But, like, in a case, if you're scanning your body, what would an intuitive no feel like or sound like?
So the intuitive no is always a whisper. Mm-hmm. So it is soft, and it's not really big and loud. So it could just, sometimes the no could just be like a really quick little contraction in the body like this, like, okay, no. That could also be trauma, by the way. So it's like that when you feel the contraction, you go in. And if it's just like, no, it's just not for you. Like, you just don't want this. Just not for you.
Yeah, I would love to to jump in on this too, because I've been exploring this myself. Like, what's the difference between fear, trauma, intuition? Like, how do I know the difference? And what it feels like in my body, intuition is soft, and there often aren't many words there. It's just a deep knowing. And even if it's something that I don't necessarily want to do, I feel safe going to do it. Like, there can be a little bit of resistance, but there's just a knowing that everything will be okay. It feels like really fully a full body integrated process. Whereas like the fear and the trauma, there's immediately, it's very heady. Like the energy goes, shoots straight up through the throat chakra, through my crown. And it's just like, don't do that. It's a bad idea. What are you going to do? So you're going to die. Something bad's going to happen. Why would you go and do that? And that's when I can just reparent, as you were so beautifully speaking into before, and really like guide myself back into my center and really remember that I have the choice to discern, like that we have free will to choose. But intuition is sweet. Like, and it's just, there's no fear there. It's just a knowing. It's like, turn left, don't go to that party, eat the pizza. You know, it's just like, okay, that feels good to me. But
and yeah. It feels good when you're home. Like, you're not sitting. So a no from trauma also, you're going to be sitting in the fear. Like, you're going to be looping the fear story in your head. Whereas a no from like a deep knowing is just like, just not for me. Like, I just don't want to go. Right? Or maybe
it doesn't have to be a story at all.
No, yeah. Exactly. It's like clear, concise, and direct. Like the intuition and the fear trauma space is like, it can be really loud and disturbing and dysregulating. Like, at least that's how I experience it in my body and how I discern the difference between the two.
And I can't remember. I was going to say one other thing, but I can't remember what it was.
There's something else that Layla's been teaching us around this that I think could be interesting to bring in, Ricky, and hear what you have to say. It's around truth telling, and knowing when we're telling a truth versus telling a lie. And sometimes we don't even know when we're telling a truth and a lie to ourselves, and how you can use this practice of basically saying like, my name is Elfina. And you feel what that sounds like. You see, you hear your tone, you hear the resonance, you feel it in your body. And then you say, my name is Ricky. And you like feel the difference between what you know is a truth and what you know is a lie. And you go through a couple things like, you know, I'm alive or I'm dead. And you feel that, what it feels like, what it sounds like. And then once you get clear on how that feels for you personally, then you move into a space that you're not sure about. Like, I want to go to this party or I want to stay home. And then you can use that kind of like truth lie detector on yourself. And you can also use that with others to kind of hear what's true for them and what's not true for them.
It's so funny because I was going to say, first of all, I love that practice. And I love, Layla has so much wisdom. So I love her. So for people who don't know her, like, go check out her page, whatever courses she has, if you feel called, like, enroll in them. She is a wise, wise woman and will deliver whatever you are meant to receive from her. She delivers in abundance. But what I was going to say is, when you said, my name's Elfina, I was like tuned into my body and I just felt that. I'm like, cool. You're like, my name's Ricky. And immediately I felt like a tiny little pinch in my heart. And like that practice too helps you learn your discernment, like you said, with others, as you hear others speak. Like, when is somebody genuine and when are they lying, right? Or when is somebody genuine and when are they people pleasing, or when are they being deceptive, or whatever it may be. And then the only other thing I was going to say actually was that when your no is a no, when your no is a no, not based out of fear, not based out of trauma, not based out of ego, when your no is a true no, it actually doesn't need a why.
I love that so much. You know, I was invited, you brought up play parties a few times, so I'll loop that back in, but I was invited to host, like facilitate a workshop at a play party recently. And it was an immediate no. And I didn't really have an answer. I was just like, no, like, I don't feel called to go. I don't feel called to facilitate. And my friend who I was supposed to co-facilitate with was like, you know, really like reeling me. She's like, why? And I just kind of felt myself like making up, like I was lying. I was just like kind of making up excuses, but like the deepest part of me knew that like no matter what she said or what she did or what came into my field, it was a no. It was a no from the jump. Like it was a no. And yeah, thank you for like really bringing that back home, because it's just so beautiful. It's so soft. You're just like, no.
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 Look at your friend and you're like, I don't need a why. I'm just a no, right?
I am just a no right now. I'm a no and I'm a yes to me, which is just the most beautiful no.
Yeah, and that, you bring up a great point. There's always a yes when there's a no, right? Whenever you're a no, you're a yes to yourself, to your truth. Mm-hmm. And so can you honor that yes? Because that is the most beautiful yes.
Mm-hmm. It's profound. Yeah. It's profound coming back home. And thank you for taking this past hour to walk us back home. Like really, my body is a tuning fork, and it just feels the safety, presence, and compassion that you've cultivated in your body. And like there were a few moments that my body could just cry. It feels so safe in your presence. So I appreciate you so deeply and the work that you've done to be sitting here having this conversation right now. It's really spectacular, and you are spectacular. So thank you for for bringing all of you and these vulnerable parts of you, and for sharing so authentically today. And before we wrap, I'd love to give you the space to speak anything else that wants to be seen, and also to share your offerings, to share how our listeners and people watching the show can get involved and work with you or potentially connect with you. What are you available for? How can we support you?
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you to both of you, Heather and Alfina, for holding this space, for bringing on such conscious leaders to share their voices, and also for sharing your little personal stories as well along the way. I really appreciate it. And the safety that you sense in me is also because you're holding really safe space and really ethical space. And that is, I really believe when we're doing this work around eroticism and intimacy, ethical space is like the top of my barometer of like, what am I looking for? And so thank you for that. You're just really, I feel a lot of love in my heart right now. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's been really an honor. I'm having Spanda, which is, are you familiar with Spanda?
No.
It's like, it's a heartgasm. It's like, you know, that flutter in your heart when you're excited or you're like falling in love. There's that kind of like that butterfly feeling. It's the practice of noticing that and breathing into it and expanding it. It's also giving yourself to a heartgasm. And I'm feeling that now.
Doing that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Amazing.
Yeah, it's Spanda, baby.
Yes. And if people want to find me, you can find me on my Instagram. I just absolutely love sharing information. So my Instagram has a load of information that's just free and for your use. So feel free to look at my Instagram. It's at Dr. Ricky Mullen, DR.RIKKIMULLEN. And I've got a bunch of videos, and I discuss everything from like relationships to sex. I always say sex is my favorite topic to talk about. But also I talk about communication and relationships, because I'm really an advocate for beautiful communication and relationships. And I love to share around that as well. And then on my website, if you go to my website, www.drrickymullen.com. So there's no dot after the DR. So it's the same drrickymullen.com. I offer a free ebook. It's the Intimacy Trust Fund. And it's a little book that I wrote based off of all of my studies, experiences, and also clients. And it's the 7 keys to having deep intimacy in your life. So whether you're in a relationship or you're single, I think it's a really fun little 40-page ebook that you can access for free on my website. I also do one-to-one coaching, so I see people on a weekly basis all over the world via Zoom, and then I also do crisis coaching. So if a couple is kind of like at their wit's end and they're like, holy shit, we don't know what we're going to do right now, reach out if I have the availability. I'm going to jump on with you and hold space for you and give you both the tools and the guidance and the space to be heard to help you come back into connection. And then I do in-person stuff as well, which I love. I especially feel that creating community and bringing people back together is a part of my purpose and calling in this world. And so I create VIP couples experiences. These are for couples who are wanting to go to the next level or who have maybe gotten so far apart and they're like, where do we connect again? Or who are also in crisis. So whatever stage you're at, if you're like, we're good, but we want to just deepen the intimacy, or you're like, we don't know if we're going to make it. People come out, they stay at our ranch, Kismet Ranch. It's in the mountains of Topanga. Absolutely beautiful. In a private 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house that they have all to themselves. And there's a highly curated VIP couples retreat experience that is based basically completely off your needs, where I bring in all my therapeutic training, tantra practices and training, and then the beauty of nature and animals, horses as well, which is so powerful for understanding relationships. And finally, I'll share that I also do equine experiences where people come out just for an afternoon and we talk about the nervous system and learn more deeply about the nervous system, both with self and in relationship, specifically using the horses as a tool and a guide for that, which is a really mystical and magical experience.
Wow. You're such a powerhouse of a woman. It's incredible. And I highly, highly, highly recommend following her on Instagram and checking out all of the, her posts that she makes. That's how I found you, honestly, just following your posts and being like, this woman has such deep wisdom. And I was like, look, I was like making my partner watch your videos. I was like, look, listen to this. I think it would be really interesting to have a to have you back on the show and talk about healthy communication and partnership in the nervous system, because that feels like that's like the crux and foundation of relationships, not just with romantic partners, but with like anyone. And that would just be such a juicy topic to go into.
And sex. We want to have you on to talk about sex.
Yeah. Maybe part three. You know about so many things. Did you do the transformative relating major?
Yes. Yeah, I did that one as well. And then I've just studied like tons of therapeutic modalities. I think the most that I use in my practice are internal family systems and emotionally focused therapy. So that's also, you know, a lot of my background and training as well.
Stunning. Oh my God. I love that so much. I'm going to be heading to California at some point, and I'll definitely reach out to you, and we'd just love to grab a coffee and just connect and meet you in the real. And I'd adore that. And if you're in the East Coast in New York, you're headed this way, let me know. I'm based here for the summer. So more to come. Yeah, just would adore to stay in touch. Thank you so much for today. Deeply. Thank you, Alfina. I love you. I'm so happy to be co-creating beside you. And thank you to all of you who are listening now. We love you. We appreciate you. We honor you. We wouldn't be here without you. Please share this conversation if it resonated. It means the world to us. You mean the world to us. And until next time, we'll see you then.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into Taboo Talks, where some truths need to be spoken and some silences need to be broken. Each week, we come together with diverse minds to explore and integrate the dance between shadow and light. Join our community and stay connected to all of the exciting movements of our mission through our website at cissociety.world, where you can sign up for our email list. This is the best way to stay updated on new taboo topics, episodes of our podcast, and even find live events near you. On our website, you'll also find links to follow our podcast, Taboo Talks, on platforms like Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. For those who want to dive even deeper, you can join our private WhatsApp community to engage in meaningful discussions about taboo topics with members from all over the world. So don't miss a moment. Visit cissociety.world and share these conversations to support the expansion of our mission. Together, we can spark the change the world needs. Until next time, stay curious, stay open, and remember, the only thing taboo is not talking about it. Thank you for tuning into Taboo Talks, where some truths need to be spoken and some silences
need to be broken. Each week, we come together with diverse minds to explore and integrate the dance between shadow and light. Join our community and stay connected to all of the exciting movements of our mission through our website at cissociety.world, where you can sign up for our email list. This is the best way to stay updated on new taboo topics, episodes of our podcast, and even find live events near you. On our website, you'll also find links to follow our podcast, Taboo Talks, on platforms like Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. For those who want to dive even deeper, you can join our private WhatsApp community to engage in meaningful discussions about taboo topics with members from all over the world. So don't miss a moment. Visit cissociety.world and share these conversations to support the expansion of our mission. Together, we can spark the change the world needs. Until next time, stay curious, stay open, and remember, the only thing taboo is not talking about it.